Blog Talk Radio.
Fighting cock. This is, we're celebrating Old Canada. This is Victoria Day in Canada, one of their national holidays. We don't hear about it down here in the United States. We're so ignorant of that big ice box up north. That's what many Americans still think about Canada, whether they think of hockey or various other things. And sometimes the Toronto Maple Leafs baseball team. This whole week we're going to commemorate, and most of them are dead, Canadians who have legally immigrated to the United States who have contributed to our arts, the movies, TV, radio, and to our and of course our media. We had Peter Jennings, controversial. We had McLeod and NPR, Public Broadcasting. And of course, our military. Many Canadians, even during the Vietnam War, I forgot about that, emigrated to the United States or joined our service, just as some Americans tried to join the Canadian forces, that's what they're called, during World War II. Now, one of my favorites is Glenn Ford, came from Quebec. I don't think he was Catholic. Probably Welsh, and his family emigrated to Santa Monica, California, went to high school down there, joined the U.S. Marine Corps in World War II, and stayed in the military, and he ended up as a Navy captain in the reserves. Also, you probably see the movie Midway, one of the best movies made, commercial Hollywood movies made about the Battle of Midway, which turned the tide for the U.S. Navy in the Pacific. And, of course, there's John Ford's famous documentary. One of my favorites is Harold Russell, who came from Nova Scotia, joined the U.S., another Marine Corps, and he lost his hands in an accident. But he starred in this film, The Best Years of Our Lives, and it was a great film made after World War II, by William Wyler, who did one of the original World War One film about our aviation, and I forgot the name of that film. We'll find it. Anyway, this film was about how these guys were going to readjust. There was another film made later with Marlon Brando called The Men. But we'll get into another day with the good old Marlon. And I did have it here, the clip. From our archives, we have a huge archives that I've accessed, also from when I worked at NPR Western Public Radio here in San Francisco. Excuse me. So, but anyway, I think while I'm looking for this, we're going to play the Canadian anthem. here we go. Here is the little clip from Harold Russell from this film. He's in a plane with Frederick Mark and Dana Andrews, and they're in a bomber coming back to the United States. And this is Harold Russell talking.
Old Jackson High. Hey, that must be the new airport.
Yeah, we're turning into it now.
Holy smoke. I never knew there were so many planes.
Well, that was him, and of course it's interesting that he lost both his hands in this accident when he was in the Marine Corps, U.S. Marine Corps, and he later got an Oscar for his work in the films. Really a great Canadian, a great American. Another Canadian who emigrated here legally from Toronto, Ontario, was America's sweetheart, born in Canada. She was actually, her mother's name was Hennessy, Irish Catholic. Her father's name was Taylor. And she trooped around Canada with her sisters and the United States. She later was named Mary Pickford. She was a co-founder of United Artists Films because the artists, movie stars, wanted more control over their work and be paid fairly and to be treated fairly. And she married Douglas Fairbanks. She had three marriages, divorced. Now, she is the only Canadian who came to the United States, became an American citizen, but decided toward the end of her life she wanted to be buried as a Canadian. But she is buried in the United States. I don't have a clip of her. She did some late films. Now, another Canadian who came to the United States was Art Linkletter. That wasn't his name, but he was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, the western provinces, the prairies as they're called, and he did quite a few film TV shows during the 50s and 60s. We had also Raymond Burr, who was born in British Columbia, joined the U.S. Navy, and his family settled down here in Washington and in California, started a winery. Remember him on some of the courtroom films that he made for TV. There's some controversy about his life that just because he had a partner, wasn't wearing his sexuality on his sleeve. After World War II, after he got out of the Navy, he starred in one of the first brutal prison films with another Canadian from Ontario. Hugh Croman played the warden. We'll get a clip of that, and we have that in our archives. Another Canadian who came down here work in our films was John Ireland, who was from British Columbia. We had Raymond Massey from Ontario. He was descended of one of the Massey Ferguson, which was the world's biggest tractor maker. They own John Deere now. His brother was Governor General of Canada. Raymond Massey was probably the first Canadian to star as Abraham Lincoln. And maybe we ought to play that clip just for the heck of it. It's kind of funny, but Raymond Massey emigrated down here after World War One. He was in the British forces. I think he was wounded in artillery. And then he came down to, I think, Boston. And then, of course, we remember him from some of the late TV shows. During World War II, he often played Nazi Gestapo, chasing people like Ronald Reagan and that. So here we go. Here's Raymond Massey in the debate in Lincoln.
Don't get him, Abe!
Judge Douglas has paid tribute to my skill with the dagger. I thank him for that, but I must admit that he can do more with that weapon than I can. He can keep 10 daggers flashing in the air at the same time.
Stop it.
Fortunately, he's so good at it that none of the knives ever falls and hurts anyone. You've heard the judge make allusion to those who advocate voting and eating and marrying and sleeping with Negroes. Whether he meant me specifically, I do not know. If he did, I can only say that just because I do not want a colored woman for a slave, I do not necessarily want her for a wife. I do not need to have her for either. I can just leave her alone. In some respects, she is certainly not my equal any more than I am the judge's equal in some respects. But in her natural right to eat the bread she earns with her own hands without asking leave of somebody else, she is my equal and the equal of all others. Now, you heard the judge speak about our own labor conditions. As an American, I cannot be proud that such conditions exist. But as an American, I can ask, would any of the striking workers in the North elect to change places with the slaves in the South? Will they not rather say the remedy is in our hands and still is an American? I can say, thank God we live under a system by which men have the right to strike. I am not preaching rebellion. I don't have to. This country with its institutions belongs to the people who inhabit it. Whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it, or their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it. If the founding fathers gave us anything, they gave us that. The purpose of the Dred Scott decision is to make property and nothing but property of the Negro in all states of the Union. It is the old issue of human rights versus property rights. It is the eternal struggle between two principles. The one, the common right of humanity. The other, the divine right of kings. It is the same spirit which says you toil and work and earn bread and I'll eat it. As a nation, we began by declaring all men are created equal. There was no mention of any exception to that rule in the Declaration of Independence. But we now practically read it, all men are created equal except Negroes. If we are to accept this doctrine of race or class discrimination, what is to stop us in future from decreeing all men are created equal except Negroes, foreigners, Catholics, Jews, or just poor people? That is the conclusion towards which the advocates of slavery are driving us. Let each state mind its own business, says Judge Douglas. Why stir up trouble? This is the complacent policy of indifference to evil. And that policy I cannot but hate. I hate it because of the monstrous injustice of slavery itself. I hate it because it deprives our republic of its just influence in the world. Enables the enemies of free institutions everywhere to taunt us as hypocrites, causes the real friends of freedom to doubt our sincerity, and especially because it forces so many good men among ourselves into an open war with the very fundamentals of civil liberty, denying the good faith of the Declaration of Independence and insisting that there is no right principle of action but self-interest. In his final words tonight, the judge said that we can be the terror of the world. I don't think we want to be that. I think we would prefer to be the encouragement of the world. The proof that at last man is worthy to be free. But we shall provide no such encouragement unless we can establish our ability as a nation to live and grow. And we shall surely do neither if these states fail to remain united. There can be no distinction in the definition of liberty as between one section and another. One class and another, one race and another. A house divided against itself cannot stand. This government cannot endure permanently. Half slave and half free.
Now, in that film, the judge was played by another Canadian who was from Ontario. This guy also starred in The House on 92nd Street, where he played a scientist at Oak Ridge nuclear plant, giving secrets to the Nazis. I'll get his name again. Now, we're going to end. We started late because I had some surgery and been running late and recovering still. We're going to end with the Canadian National Anthem tonight, the Maple Leaf Forever. We're going to be back Wednesday and hope to have Patrick Butler, whose father tried to join the Canadian forces during World War II. And also we'll get into Chicago and the Midwest, how French Canada, people and priests coming down from Canada, lent their name to places like Marquette, Du Sable, who was one of the founders of Chicago. He was half black, half African. We had Des Plaines, where I grew up. Portage, French words, and then of course you remember James Michener's centennial. So we'll be back Wednesday. I hope to feel better, and we'll start at 4 o'clock, I hope. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We will also have on our YouTube site, we'll be putting this up, Old Canada.